Good evening. It's been a great day here today, hasn't it? We had 12 seniors that we presented this morning. This afternoon, we spent some time with our kids group bowling. We had 14 bowlers this afternoon, and man, they were having some fun. They were building monsters with bowling. Some were shooting arrows with bowling, so they were having a lot of fun. It was a neat experience from what we grew up bowling with, so it was fun. But before we get started, let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings that you bestowed upon us. We are thankful for your church, Lord, that we could come together to fellowship and to study together. Lord, we pray that you be with us in our time together as we look at your word. Help us to take it and apply it to our lives to be better Christians. Lord, we pray that you be with us always. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. We've been talking about women of faith, and that's something I think all of us have seen in one shape, form, or fashion, is women of faith, because most of us are here mainly because of women of faith. I know I was raised going to my grandparents' house. I would go to my dad's mom's for 2 days. I'd go to my mom's mom's for 3 days, and they kept me. And along all this, they would teach me different things. And I always remember seeing my grandmother. And, of course, I would show up at various times when we lived next door. It was very easy to walk next door and just be like, "Hey, Granny, I'm here." And she goes, "Are you hungry?" And the answer was always yes. I was always hungry. She goes, "Okay, would you like a 3-egg omelet?" "Sure." And she would fix it, and I would have all these things. And then I'd look into the dining room where on her table, I said, "What's all that?" And she goes, "My studies." And if many of you probably remember the church workbooks that you got in class, some of them were different colors. Every month was like a different color. And she says, "I'm doing my studies. Don't touch that. You just go play with all your stuff, and I'll have you breakfast in a minute, or I'll have you lunch in a minute." And she was always studying. So women of faith has been a big thing. We've been taught by women of faith all our lives. And tonight I want us to look at one of the women of faith. And my dad, as we were talking about this, he said, "What is the only woman in the Bible mentioned with two famous mother-in-laws?" I was like, "I don't know. You've stumped me, Dad." And he's like, "Think about it. Only woman with two famous mother-in-laws." And I went back and forth. And finally I said, "I'm going to have to give up." He goes, "Ruth. She had Naomi, and then she had Rahab. She had two famous mother-in-laws." And I said, "Well, okay." And he goes, "That's always a good study." And so he was right. I went back and read the book of Ruth. And it's a story of love. But I seen something in there that I think we can take from this woman of faith, this Moabite woman, and we can apply it to our daily lives. You see, Ruth is a very interesting study. Her name actually means friendship. But if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Ruth. It is right after the book of Judges. And it starts out in the first 5 verses. We see the story of Naomi. She is married to a man named Elimelech, and they live in Bethlehem. And it says, and starting in verse 1, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons, and the name of that man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his 2 sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her 2 sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab, and the name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so the women survived her 2 sons and her husband." So that's how the book of Ruth starts out. It gives us a little backstory about how Naomi wound up where she was. You see, she lived in Bethlehem of Judah with her husband and her two sons. And because of a famine, they get up and they move, they travel. And in this span of 10 years, as they're living in the land of Moab, where they can receive sustenance and nourishment, tragedy strikes. And she is left with just her two daughters-in-law. So it starts out kind of sad. But here is where the story gets interesting. Here's where we find out about Ruth. And I think we find, when we look at the story of Ruth, we're going to see three things that is in her life that should be in every Christian's life. One thing is dedication, determination, and devotion. That is the three things we're going to look at tonight that we can learn from Ruth. Is she was not only dedicated to Naomi, but she was also determined and devoted to Naomi. And as Christians, when we become Christians, we should be determined to stay the course. We should be devoted to Christ, and we should be determined to stay that way. But you see, Ruth was a determined woman. All that was left was Naomi and her two daughters-in-law. But we see in verse 6, it says, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go and return to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband.' So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said, 'Surely we will return with you to your people.' But Naomi said, 'And turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, why would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me.' Then they lifted up their voices and wept. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, 'Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.'" But here's where we see the dedication part. This is where Ruth is going to be totally dedicated to her mother-in-law, to Naomi. Naomi's already told them, said, "Hey, go back to your people. You have done what you were meant to do. You have lived with us and took care, and you have blessed your husband's names. Now, why would you stay with me? Go back and live a life and have a life for yourselves." But Ruth makes a choice here. She makes a choice of dedication to be with her. See, Orpah went back to Moab to be with her people, but Ruth chooses to stay with Naomi and to care for her. Because she says here in verse 16, "But Ruth said, 'Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." Ruth made this choice to be totally dedicated to her mother-in-law, Naomi. She made a choice to stay with Naomi instead of going back to the life that she had known, to everything that she knew. She says, "No, your people are now going to be my people. Nothing can stop us. We will be together even till death. And wherever you are buried, there I will be buried as well. I am totally dedicating my life to you." So she was planning on going back to Bethlehem of Judah to die as a widow with her mother-in-law. She was totally dedicated, and she even gave up her own personal comforts for this choice. You see, she could have went back to her mother's house and been amongst family. But because of her dedication, she chose to stay with her mother-in-law. You see, I've got a great mother-in-law. When I first met her, I played a very big trick. And I ask, so what are we having for dinner? And Letha tells me we're having pot roast. And I said, okay. So what I did is, just to break her in right, because I'm a big trickster, I like to play jokes on people, I stop at McDonald's and I get an empty bag, an empty box of Big Mac, and an empty French fry thing, and an empty cup. So it's totally empty. I wrap it all up. And we get up there, and she goes, do you like pot roast? I said, it's okay, I got mine. She goes, you can eat what's in your bag then. Joke was on me. She got me good. So we have joked together, we've laughed together, we have played tricks on each other because we are dedicated to each other. That night, we even watched a movie called Monster-in-Law. And ever since then, she has been my monster-in-law, and I've been the outlaw. So, but we have fun together. But you see, through this dedication that Ruth makes to Naomi, she says, "I am going to be with you. I am going to be right there beside you. Wherever you go, I will go." And as Christians, I think that's a big key for us. Is we should be totally dedicated to Christ. Does our Christian lives show that kind of effect of dedication to Christ? If you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 16. We see here, starting in verse 24, says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works.'" You see, Christ tells us to be totally dedicated to Him. That if we are going to follow Him, we must pick up our cross and follow Him. I guess it's been 5, maybe 6 years ago when I first came up here and preached one of my first sermons on a Sunday night. And I talked about a skit that we had just seen. We had taken our college group, and we had about, I guess it was our youth group, and probably 10 of our college students to help chaperone a CYC trip. So we had 75 people on this trip, and all the college students broke up and took a group of teenagers to the segments, and then we watched them out in town to keep them safe. But one of the things that we seen while we were there was this skits with a truth, this SWAT team that did a skit that talked about picking up our cross and following Him. And it shows a shopkeeper putting everything away in a shop, and they come up and they said, "Hey, I really need to pick up the cross and follow Jesus." And he says, "Oh yeah, I got one of them." And they said, "Well, how much is it?" He says, "Well, it's everything. It says to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow Jesus." And over the midst of time, people was not willing to pay what that cost, until one guy walks in and the shopkeeper goes, okay, everybody's come in and looked for this cross. Let's just go ahead and get down to the business of it. It costs you everything. It says, deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow me. He goes, go ahead, give me your wallet, give me your keys, give me your house and everything else that you may have, your bank cards, everything. And the guy looks at him and goes, this cross is more important to me than anything in the world. Here's my keys. Here's my wallet. Here's my money. Here's everything that I possess. I'll take that cross. And the shopkeeper turns around and says, well, if you're going to take that cross, you're going to need a car. Because you're going to have to drive people around. You're going to have to take people to church with you. You're also going to need your house so you can entertain people to be able to teach them more about Christ. You're going to need a job to help fund the work of the church. And along the way, we see that he gives everything back to him as well as the cross, because he says, deny yourself and do what you can to bring others to Christ. That's the dedication that Christ wants for us, is to give up everything to bring more people to him. You see, also our love should not be about personal gain or personal comforts. You see, Naomi told her, said, go back to your people and live your life. She says, no, your people are now my people. I'm with you until death. But see, as Christians, we should be totally dedicated and not be about the gain. In Matthew chapter 19, we see the story of the rich young ruler. And starting in verse 16, it says, now behold, one came to him and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but the one that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And I'm sure this rich young ruler is probably feeling good. Okay, keep the commandments. And he says, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you see, the rich young ruler was pretty good with this. He says, I'm feeling pretty good. I'll start patting myself on the back. He goes, I know all these. I've kept all these from my youth. He says, well, he goes, what do I lack? If I've done all this, is there anything else that I need to do? And Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come, follow me. But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, to be truly dedicated to Christ, it's not about our own personal gain. It's about what we're going to gain in heaven. You see, sometimes we choose to follow God just because it's what everybody else is doing. It's because we see everybody else following God, or maybe we got baptized because everybody else at the same time got baptized. But if we're truly dedicated to Christ, we're going to follow Him no matter what. We choose God because we know that we have not earthly gain to win out of it, but we have a home waiting in heaven. You see, Jesus even reminds His disciples of that before He hangs on the cross. He says, not long from now, I am going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. But I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare that place for you, I will come again and take you unto them. And they say, Lord, we don't know where you're going. He said, yes, you do. He goes, I've told you that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, we have something so much better waiting for us in heaven. It's something that we cannot understand because we look at what we have here on this earth. Jesus says, be truly dedicated to me, not because of what you might win here on earth, but for what you're going to get in heaven. You see, also sometimes we give up personal comforts. You see, Paul writes about that in Philippians. He tells about all the things that he went through in Philippians chapter 3. He says, Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. And he goes on and says, beware of all these different things that are going to come at you. He goes, I'm not just writing this to tell you something or just to be writing it. But I want you to know that these things are going to come your way. And he says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. But if we do, I might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Because I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Concerning righteousness, which is in the law, I was blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and that I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. You see, we may have earthly gain, but if we are truly dedicated to Christ, we're not worried about that. We can be like Paul and we can count them as rubbish because we know our gain is from Christ Jesus. It's from the faith that we have in Christ Jesus, that he came and lived on this world and he died for our sins. But you see, not only was she dedicated enough that she says, I am going with you no matter what you go, but I'm truly devoted to you. Ruth shows true devotion to Naomi to take care of her. In chapter 2, we see that Naomi is hungry, that she is an older lady. She has no husband anymore. She has no sons to provide for her. And it was up to Naomi to try to, or up to Ruth to take care of Naomi. So in chapter 2, she blends in and goes into the fields to glean the grain. But not only that, she beats the grain too. And she comes back afterwards, and it says that she has found an ephah, that she has not only gleaned it and beat it, but she comes back with an ephah of barley, which is roughly to say about 5 gallons. So she knew that it was on her. She was truly devoted to Naomi to go into the fields and do the work because she needed to feed her. She needed to take care of her. You see, she was willing to be totally devoted to go and do all this work. From verse 4 through 17 of chapter 2, she does all this on her own. She follows a man of the country by the name of Boaz, who we find out later is actually a close relative to Elimelech. So inside the same family. And he says, honey, I see you working hard. He said, stay with my young women, and whenever you need a drink, go and get a drink with them. And he tries to take care of her. And then he even tells his young men that are working in front of him, don't beat everything, but leave some for her. Let her take care of her family. So she is devoted enough. And then when she comes back with this ephah of barley, Naomi says, where did you do this? This is a lot. And she says, from a young man named Boaz. She says, hey, he's family. And then in chapter 3, starting in verse 3, she says, therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment, go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to this man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies. You shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. She was totally devoted to Naomi to listen to everything that she was going to say because she cared enough for her to take care of her. She was willing to do whatever it took to take care of Naomi. So she was totally devoted here. Are we devoted to the cause of Christ? You see, God gives us a mission through His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. We should be devoted to that cause because He says that's for all of us. And He also says at the very end of that, and lo, I am with you always. Christ is going to be there every step of the way if we are totally devoted to Him. Sometimes we don't understand the labor that goes along with that. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own and especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Ruth, as a woman of faith, was totally devoted that she was willing to risk everything to go and work and take care of Naomi. And this was not a time where it was good to be a single lady in the fields where she might have been taken advantage of or she might have been captured to become a slave. But Boaz kind of watched out for her. And because of that, Naomi said, here's what you need to do. This is going to be your next step. If you're going to truly take care of us, then I want you to get close to Boaz because he is a good man and he will take care of you. So we see that we need to be, as a Christian, not only determined or not only devoted, but next we need to be determined. And that's the big key. What is our determination? And determination is something that sometimes we take for granted. See, I had a fun time. I played soccer. And you wouldn't believe it now looking at how big and muscular I am, right? But when I was in high school and playing soccer, I think I weighed maybe 85 pounds. I was a very skinny little thing. And Letha will tell you, when we first met, I might have been 100 pounds soaking wet. I think I was as big as her. So my mother-in-law fattened me up. She had dessert at every meal. Sometimes I passed on that because I don't eat a lot of dessert. But I was determined to be a starter. I told Coach, I said, Coach, what does it take for me to be a starter? He says, son, you got to put a little weight on. These guys are bigger than you. They're faster than you. I said, well, what do I got to do? Just tell me. He said, well, you need to work out. You need to eat. You need to run. You need to be fast. I said, okay. And then he goes, I got to start every JV game. And I said, what does it take to get on varsity? He said, well, as a freshman, there's nothing you can do. He said, you won't start on varsity. I said, okay. He said, I reserved that for sophomores and up. I said, okay, that's great. Can I ever play on varsity? He said, I tell you what, you're a determined little feller. I said, yes, sir, I am. Call me a bulldog. And so he drew a big circle in the middle of the field. He said, if you can keep me from pushing you out of this circle for 2 minutes, I'll let you play varsity. Okay, game on. And, of course, Coach at that time had about 200 pounds on me. So at about a minute and 49 seconds, he pushed me out of the ring. He said, I'm sorry, y'all. You won't start varsity. Until we got to Crossville one day, and one of the guys busted his nose, and he said, y'all, you're up. Get in there. And I got to play varsity as a freshman because I was determined. And that's what Jesus Christ wants for us today, is to be determined. See, Ruth was determined not only just to go with Naomi, but to care for Naomi and support Naomi, even when it wasn't easy. But because of her love and determination to stay with her, she brings her back to faith. If you look at chapter 1, after Ruth tells her that she is going to do everything she can to be with her, verse 18 says, when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, and it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. So why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Ruth was determined to help Naomi regain her faith. She had lost her faith because she says, "Why do you call me good? For the Lord has dealt very bitterly with me." She said, "When I left here, I was full. I was happy. I had a husband. I had two sons. And now I come back to you empty, with nothing but a daughter-in-law to show for it." But you see, through Ruth's determination, through her devotion, and her love and care for Naomi, she brings her back full circle to faith. If you look in chapter 4 of this, starting in verse 14, well, actually, starting in verse 9, Boaz redeems Ruth and says, "And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, 'You are now witnesses this day that I have brought all that Elimelech's and that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day.' And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, 'We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, and may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of your offspring, which the Lord will give you from this young woman.' So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, and bore him.'" See, because of Ruth's determination and her love, her devotion, and her dedication to Naomi, she brings her back full circle of faith and shows her that because of her, she is now in line. And you can see this in Matthew when he talks about the genealogy of Jesus Christ. The person that she begets is Obed, who is the father-in-law of Jesse, who becomes the great-grandfather of David the king, and is in line in succession to Jesus Christ. Because of Ruth's devotion, determination, and love, we see this woman of faith grow and become in line with Jesus Christ. Are we determined like Ruth? Are we always looking out to bring others to them? In Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 6, "Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will also of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those
who are the household of faith. Because of Ruth, we can see these three dedications, these three D's that we need to add to our Christian walk. We need to be dedicated, we need to be determined, and we need to be devoted to Christ. You see, we see that all throughout Scripture. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "You shall not have two masters, for you will love the one or hate the other." He says, "You cannot serve God and mammon, but you have to choose." And we see that over and over again. And the story that pops out is Joshua, as he is at the very end of his takeover of the promised land. He says, "Choose for you this day who you will serve, whether you will serve the gods of the people of the land that we took over, or whether you will serve the one true God who gave you this land. But as for me and my house, I will choose the Lord." You see, we got to make a choice of all this. We got to make a choice to be determined. We got to make a choice to be devoted. We have that opportunity. Because in Hebrews chapter 11 it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Have you put Christ on in baptism? Have you become devoted to God? Have you been determined to teach others about God? We have everything ready. If you have not made that choice to choose God, if you've not put Christ on in baptism, everything is ready to do that. We have the water here, but not only now. We have the opportunity every time that we still have a breath. That call is open at any point in time that we still hear. Or maybe you've fallen away from Christ. Maybe you need prayers of encouragement. Maybe you need the strength of your brothers and your sisters in Christ. If there's anything we can do for you, please come as we stand and as we sing.